talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and eat meat in it. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to church this morning.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Out of the box thinking is good, you know?
Out of the box?
Yeah, you know, ghosts. Some people think that's crazy. They go, no, that's not true. Ghosts don't exist. You know, things that we're fed to believe, right? Ghosts don't exist. The earth is round.
Well, the earth is round.
Is it, though?
It's only radio. It's so simple.
And now,
who's your favorite Marvel Comics hero? Mine is Superman. Remember the motto? With great power comes great responsibility. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you again at 6.
Our feature presentation.
I don't even understand what that was.
It's a real comic head.
Is that a newscaster?
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Doing a Comic-Con story, talking about the great Marvel character Superman.
Huh.
Who says, you know, with great responsibility. That's his catchphrase.
Right.
We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
She nailed it.
Huh.
I love it. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 24th of July.
I've just been handed, as they say in the news business, some bad news from one of our listeners.
Oh.
That I am actually legitimately distressed about.
Okay.
Barney Smith has died.
Oh.
The owner of the world famous toilet seat art museum dies at 98.
Oh. Love that little dude.
Yeah.
Me too. He I visited him, remember, on one of my trips across country a couple of years ago at the Alamo Heights area in just outside San Antonio. And he had created over 1,300 toilet seat covers and was a real character, man, a real personality. Opened up the makeshift museum out of his garage in 1992 and sold it last year, if I remember correctly. And it was going to be moved. Wasn't going to be moved to Houston or something like
that.
He was, you know, just too old to keep doing it. But
when we talked to him, he would stay up till 3, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Working on his projects and get up in like an hour and a half and keep going.
Yeah, yes. Amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It seemed to me like he needed that work because, you know, at his age, he had long been a widower and he didn't have much else going on. But he had that little project that he was so invested in. Jensen, did you ever hear Barney Smith on the show?
No, I never heard him on the show. I just knew that there was a guy who had a toilet seat museum because that's the kind of thing that travels quick.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I visited him and had a terrific afternoon with him, and we spoke with him a number of times on the show. In fact, it wasn't that long ago that I think we had a brief conversation about, hey, we ought to check in with Barney and see how he's doing. Unfortunately, we're not going to get the opportunity to do that, but I thought we might. Like I said, I just got this, you know, 1 minute before we went on, but I did search for audio, and I thought I'd find a little bit of the last time we talked to Barney.
Okay.
I think this is the end of the last call that we ever had with our friend Barney Smith.
Bye now.
Bye.
Did you just hang up on Barney?
That took a real turn at the end.
Did you just hang up on Barney?
He did. Oh, God. I don't like anything in the last minute.
He's 97, Kevin.
I didn't really hang up on him.
You clipped him. You clipped him.
He hung up.
No, you clipped him.
No, you clipped him.
No, he hung up.
That might be the last time we ever... His arms aren't working. His legs. Didn't you hear him?
That was a rough last minute.
Kevin. I mean, it sounded worse than it was.
Yeah, but the bigger story here is that Allie strikes again.
Oh, yep. No.
It's true.
She does. She's the Black Widow.
That was like 8, 9 months ago.
Yeah, but
no,
what did you say?
You said it's the this is probably the last time we talked to him, and it came true.
That's not...
Well, don't say things like that when you have that kind of power.
You're right.
Fatality.
What did the news lady say? Use it for good responsibility.
Right, like Superman says.
See you
right.
At 6.
Allie.
Oh,
now I don't know whether Kevin killed Barney or you killed Barney.
I will say this:
it's a tag team. I'm happy to be part of a duo this time instead of a solo act.
I remember I feel like it was more than the last minute of that interview, but like the last few minutes, we kept trying to wrap it up. Then he kept adding sadder and sadder information. Yeah. And then Kevin is purple. He's laughing so hard. We should replay that whole thing. That was amazing.
Funny. All right, let's try to dig that up and see if we can squeeze it in. Because I think you're right. Because we were like, all right, Barney, have a great day. And he's like, well, I don't think I will because my legs hurt so much. Yeah.
Right. By the way, that times 10.
Yeah. And a lot slower.
Yeah.
I hope there's some love in your life. Well, everyone I know is dead.
Have a good time at the museum. Well, no one comes in ever. Yeah. I'm always alone, just toilet seats.
Oh, bless him.
Well, I'm very sad to have to bring you all that news, but it was a junior T95, by the way. I want to give the credit to the listener who just sent me the story. But I'm just, you know, it's just one of those old guys that I'm just grateful I got the opportunity to meet and spend some time with. And I mean, I feel like I was, my life was richer for the experience of knowing Mr. Barney Smith. So RIP Barney.
Yeah, he went out of his way, Jensen, mm-hmm. to go visit him. It was not on the route he was going.
Well,
so
it's a museum. That's Bean's thing, I mean, and old man curating
it. Perfect storm.
Honestly, it's the eye of the storm.
Yeah, it was everything I want in life.
The perfect Venn diagram for Bean.
And I'm also concerned that he didn't make it to 100. You know, I keep my eyes peeled a lot on that 100-year-old mark because mm-hmm. that's where I hope to be. And he only made it to 98.
I hate to break it to you, but there's not a chance in hell you're going to make it to 90.
There's no reason I won't.
I give him 82 tops.
Right tops. Oh, God. Yeah. If he really stretches it.
You know, Allie just said you're going to live to 82. Right. So might as well write that will out.
I now have a target on my back. Thanks, Allie.
Sorry.
You too. I'm just trying to be honest with you. You're not going to reach 100.
I'm going to make 100. Unfortunately, you are not going to be around for me to rub it in your face because you'll be long dead of another spider bite.
I feel like I got my one per life, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I exceeded the average.
Yeah.
So I'm good from now on.
So you're indestructible
yes,
now.
Yes, correct. That's okay. The way I look at it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hakuna Matata.
Right. Animal stories on the program today. Food delivery people, is it true that 25% of them sample your food when they drop it off?
I've been dreading this story all night.
25%?
I'm nervous we're going to get calls, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we will, and I think we'll find out it's probably true.
Think about how many hands have been in your food before you start eating it, Jensen.
No.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
All right. Would you like to take that back?
I would not.
Oh, you'll have plenty of chances today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no worries. You just wait for that segment, and then you'll be able to answer over and over and over again.
All right.
Things that you did that your parents didn't find out about, we're going to talk about on today's show. Maybe still you're doing something they don't know about. And also, I don't know if you saw this story, but it's almost as sad as Barney. Remember the woman that married the 300-year-old pirate ghost?
Yeah, she was very much in love with him.
Divorced.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. There such thing as love.
Right?
How
does love even exist?
Not work out. They were perfect for each other. She certainly wasn't going to find anybody else. And frankly, neither was he.
And what arguments could have
right. What could the problem have been between them?
Well, I think you're going to find out in about a half hour, and you're not going to be happy because I believe love is dead, you guys. Very sad to bring you that news, but that's the deal.
This is a bummer of a day.
Plus, we have tickets for 21 Pilots as well. We will take a break. We'll come on to 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
He was just a kid when that song came out, remember? Remember when he played that first Weenie Roast, Kevin?
Yes,
and
I do.
He was just a timid, quiet little... looked like a teenager at the time. I don't think
still
he was
does,
quite,
by the way.
That young. Yes, he's aged very well. But he has grown into a tremendous artist. But there you go, some early Beck here on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Well, Gwen Stefani took to Instagram yesterday to announce that she had to cancel her upcoming performance because she is currently, quote, unwell. Oh. She said this, "I am so upset to share that I'm unwell and will not be able to perform my Vegas residency show tomorrow night," which would be tonight. "I was so looking forward to seeing everyone and performing, and I wish I wasn't feeling the way I do. To everyone who is coming to Wednesday's show, I am so sorry. I'm doing everything I can to be back on stage on Friday."
I don't look sad, but I really am disappointed.
No details as to what's going on?
No.
Can they go for a hologram and just play her music?
They could do that.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female.
You got a million-dollar contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
She sounds unwell.
She still got it, though. She's currently headlining an extended residency at the Zappos Theater in Las Vegas until November 2nd. I don't know what you do in that case. Do you have a makeup date?
I don't know.
Or is it just kind of scrapped?
I don't know. I would assume they would just cancel it.
I think it's just a scrap.
Yeah.
When you say you're not well...
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Usually you would say you're sick.
Yeah.
But to say you're unwell is a bit weird.
Or like...
Is it measles?
It could be.
Sounds like
typhoid.
It sounds serious.
Okay. But I'm doing everything I can to be back on stage Friday. That's not measles.
I'm not well, though. It's so weird.
That is a strange way to say it.
Allie was giving everybody cholera yesterday.
It might be cholera. Gwen is going to be so thin on Friday. Just everything out of her system.
Wouldn't you love to just get a touch of the cholera,
no.
Allie?
Oh, absolutely.
Just a touch.
I wasn't asked. Yeah.
Just to clear out the system?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Just start over.
Yeah.
Like, just restart your whole, like, metabolism, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still am hoping for a tapeworm. I think that's the answer. Remember, we tried to get Dr. Drew to sign off on that plan of me getting a tapeworm, but he would not because he's a downer.
Yeah, and you had done all the research. You found out where in South America you were ordering one from.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. You know, just to get rid of those last stubborn few pounds.
I agree. Cholera. Is that still a thing? Do we even know?
I have no idea.
It is a thing.
It is. Okay.
It's one of those diseases that was almost completely eradicated.
And it fought back, man. Congrats.
Right. Now, due to extreme poverty and lack of medical access, it has made a return.
Can't hold it down, man.
Literally. Right. Nothing.
Nothing.
No. Both ends.
No.
Same time.
Butthole and mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we understood.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
I think both ends was
enough. She means poop and vomit.
No, we know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
She said both ends.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was a given.
Needed to make sure.
Okay.
You guys, remember on Saturday when Marvel made the announcement that they were bringing back Blade? And they're going to have Mahershala Ali cast as the vampire hunter in the reboot.
Yeah, it's great casting.
Yep.
It's wonderful casting. Wesley Snipes is weighing in because, of course, he was Blade in the 1998 film, followed by Blade 2 in 2002, Blade Trinity in 2004. He said, because a lot of people were tweeting at him like, oh, man, disrespectful. You're Blade. That's how they talk, a little bit like
really?
Keanu. He said to all the daywalkers losing their minds right now, chillax.
Yes, chillax. Good.
Bring him back, chillax.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, although the news comes as a surprise, it's all good. Congratulations and salam to Mahershala Ali, a beautiful and talented artist whose expressions I look forward to experiencing for many years to come.
I would have been more shocked had they brought Wesley Snipes back for Blade.
Yeah.
Because 25 years later, look, they give you a new Spider-Man every 18 months in these days. So why would you ever assume that they would go back to the old dude?
I don't think they'd assume he'd go back, but maybe like a cameo, something.
I'm down for a cameo.
But to hear that the news was a surprise to him, that kind of made
me go,
shocking. Ooh, yeah. I don't love that much.
So were income taxes. So that's not a good point. It's not a shock to do that to him. I love him, though. I want him in a cameo.
Yeah, I think it would be smart.
Yeah.
Just drop him in there. Just, like, in the corner, like, just nodding his head at him.
Having nothing to do with the storyline?
Maybe
just
not.
Just standing in the corner.
Wesley Snipes in normal clothes?
Just normal clothes,
just
like
at a bar.
Just lifts up his beer and just nods. Oh, huge. Yeah, let me know, Marvel.
Huge.
I'm available for
brainstorming sessions?
Okay. Did you hear that? I just came up with that like off the top of my head.
I told you guys yesterday.
It was a miracle.
Thank you.
I was reading about it and you guys were also shocked. I think we were just in the back. There's a movie coming out called Dolomite Is My Name.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it has Keegan-Michael Key, Wesley Snipes, Eddie Murphy, and I think John Cena has a small cameo in it. Like, it sounds like everyone I like in one movie.
Amazing.
That
does sound funny.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I'll
Mike Epps, Craig Robinson, Titus Burgess. These people all in this movie. Anyway, let you know.
Do you think Wesley Snipes will hold up a beer and just nod?
Yeah.
Every movie from
dressed
now on.
Dressed as Blade, though. Every movie that's not Blade, he's dressed as Blade.
The next Star Wars, he's just standing in the cantina.
Yeah, everyone's like, do you know that guy? Nope. I love it. You guys, just some Carhartt like overalls, which would be weird in the cantina. Carhartt, is that who?
They make, yeah, that worked. Okay. That worked.
How's everybody doing?
We're good.
I'm just grateful. 2 minutes till we go on the air.
Yeah. Right. That is funny.
2 minutes till we go on the air.
Who is that? Is that Schwarzenegger? Yeah.
That is funny.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so very much.
How are you doing, Ellie?
I'm doing all right. I'm really? Doing all right. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Oh. Really?
I mean, after yesterday.
Uh-huh. I did end the show with, how you doing? Everybody okay?
I have a burning bush.
Wow. Oh. Well, that's part of the problem. Got to get that checked out. Absolutely. Do you guys remember the R. Kelly docuseries, Surviving R. Kelly?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Huge hit on Lifetime. 26.8 million people watched that.
And I think it made a real difference with turning the public tide against R. Kelly, absolutely. Who hadn't really been paying attention.
Absolutely. Well, they are following up that hit docuseries with a similar show called Surviving Jeffrey Epstein. So the show will center around the convicted pedophile who's currently locked up without bail pending trial on child sex trafficking charges, as well as doing a follow-up to Surviving R. Kelly called Surviving R. Kelly, The Aftermath.
Robert.
I mean, Lifetime has a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about a couple more movies on the docket that I think you'll be pretty interested in. It's not Christmas, guys, so stay tuned.
Okay, good.
Okay,
canceled. Cool.
Some birthdays for you. Elizabeth Moss, Rose Byrne, Kristen Chenoweth, Michael Richards, Gus Van Sant, Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, you guys.
Yes.
And Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez, you guys.
J-Lo.
J-Lo, 50.
Wow, that's not possible.
I know.
Have you seen her?
That butt ain't 50, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're saying her butt isn't 50.
Both sides, puke and poo, right, is what you were saying earlier.
That's
earlier.
Oh, yeah. That's a callback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About an hour from now, would you like to take that back?
Mm-hmm.
So.
You seem especially excited about today's edition.
I don't know, I'm excited. I'm also, I was angry last night while editing.
Mm-hmm.
You were angry.
Yeah, Chip was angry. Everyone's angry. I don't know. I think you're not trying anymore, Bean. We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that in about an hour.
Trying to entertain is what I'm trying to do.
I see. Okay. So we're going to miss.
I have not heard this apparently very sad and disturbing tape that Kevin is about to play for us, but I do know this about Kevin.
You are a murderer of love!
That I do know.
I don't feel like I'm a murderer of love.
Well, it sounds to me like you came in the first thing this morning and said that love has died.
Well, I'm saying 46-year-old Amanda Teagan from Northern Ireland married a ghost, and now they've divorced.
Oh, no.
So I that's when I asked the question, does love even exist?
You're a murderer, Kevin.
She was married in at sea in international waters because it's illegal, apparently, in Ireland to marry someone dead.
Who knew?
Okay.
And
glad that's on the books. Glad they sorted that.
She does have a pirate flag with just a generic pirate on it, but most of the time she's seen holding a giant portrait of Johnny Depp.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Oh, and she calls him Jack.
Jack, see, that it's not even creative.
Oh, dear.
So you're upset that it didn't work out, but she wasn't creative.
Yeah, if you're going to fall in love with a fake ghost that's dead,
say fake?
Well, don't pull it from a movie, because then I feel it's fake.
So this is from ITV, where they generally try their best to give the person like more than a fighting chance. Like, they're sort of on their side. They sort of don't interrupt them and don't call them out on their BS. Mm-hmm. But the guy on the show is sort of tired of her, and we'll hear that a little bit later on. But so the first question he asks, looking at the portrait of Johnny Depp, is...
Jack, as I understand, was a man of the sea as well.
Yes, he was a pirate. Yes.
A pirate?
Yes.
Did he fit the bill of what we all know from the films and novels, things of a pirate, I, me, hearty, and all that?
No, that's all very much stereotypical. I mean, he actually spoke very good English.
It's very stereotypical. It wasn't like that, like the painting I'm holding.
By the way, you are so right that this this television presenter hates having to do this interview. He's like, I got to find another job.
Yeah, he really does. Like, so most of the time, he's able to play along, have a good time. He and a woman, and both of them are sort of fun, and they just get into it. And this time, man, he's had it. He's had it. So now he wants to know how she met him.
How did he come into your life?
How did you meet?
I really wanted to know what was out there. And obviously, I discovered spirituality, and it gave me a link to the other side, and I discovered by doing a lot of workshops and courses or whatever in it that I was actually really, really good at it.
She thought she was good at it. Okay. All right. So then he asked the follow-up.
You reached across to the other side, and then basically you got there. Someone reached back to you.
Absolutely.
To the extent that it felt physical?
Yes, well, I mean, you can feel spirit energy. If you even go into a haunted building, you get that shiver up your spine. That's actually feeling energy.
You weren't frightened, obviously. You felt this was a good energy. How did that turn into a romantic feeling, so much so to the point where you wanted to marry this ghost?
Now, this is where he sort of loses his patience.
We just started to talk a lot because it was very interesting period.
I suppose I just better get to the nitty-gritty because there'll be a lot of people watching and they're saying, this woman is mad.
Okay. Yeah. He interrupts her three times.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that they had conversations.
I don't want to hear the end of this. Yeah. Let's get right to it because people think you might be crazy.
You know, you either believe that there's another realm or you don't. You either believe that they can hear you.
I don't know why she says the word realm. But it's realm, is what she means, but she keeps saying realm.
That's what you have the biggest problem with?
And you said you got so close and romantically involved with this being that you also believed that it was like a sexual, physical relationship as well, that you could feel.
The physical body, in a sense, isn't really important. It's more about the energy connection or the chemistry, you know, if you want to put it, you know, in non-spiritual
Jack
terms.
Made you tingle, basically.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Look, come on, stop eating around the bush. Jack made you tingle, right? He just wants to leave. He's so unhappy with his job right now.
Man.
It's very sad. So, what went wrong?
Okay, so far so good. Right?
Yeah, all good, yes. So
when did it get bad?
The first time that I really noticed anything that was wrong was a couple of months after we got married. And I also knew about spirit attachments and possession and stuff like that, although, you know, I'd never encountered it. So I did ask some people, you know...
Okay, I just want to stop it right here and say, she knows about spiritual attachment, and maybe the spirit would want to take over her body.
Oh, no.
So she asked all her friends, does he seem like a good guy?
Are you sure that this guy is a good spirit? And everybody told me it was fine.
Everybody said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, he's great.
I'd like to talk to this everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, no one picked up her call.
No, it's all... Listen, he's the best. He's the best.
He treats you right.
Right. We've known him for a long time. We feel like he's really a good dude. So her health starts going south, and she thinks it's because of Jack.
But this went on for almost 2 years. My health just kept getting worse and worse and worse to the point that I ended up with sepsis last year in June.
Sepsis, by the way,
that's
every
serious.
Organ in your body just failing.
Yeah.
That's a serious thing.
And I almost died. I had to have emergency
And the analysis
surgery.
Given to you why this would happen was that Jack was doing what? Why was he a bad influence then?
He was basically like an energy vampire, so...
He was an energy vampire.
Oh, sure. Didn't see that coming.
Right?
We've all dated one of those.
It's normal to stay in the earthbound realm for a period of time, but then we're meant to cross over and go on and reincarnate or go to another realm or do whatever we're meant to do in our life's path. So when spirits stay around too long, they need an energy source, and unfortunately... Jack was using me as an energy source.
He was kind of bleeding you dry of
exactly.
your energy,
he was trying
making
to,
you ill.
He had never accepted his own death, so he wanted to continue living through my body.
So he was trying to come over from the other side and take you over.
Yes.
That's a very reasonable theory, I should say. Honestly.
Right.
I mean, considering what? How crazy it could have been,
what?
That one at least makes sense.
So you're saying that there's a plot to that. Like,
yes, okay. It's not just like, oh, we couldn't agree on what TV shows to watch or something like that.
Oh, no, he was trying to kill her.
Yes.
He was trying to kill her.
To take over the body and use it as a vessel.
This is like women who are allergic to their husband. You know what I mean?
It's like, almost like that. Except for this includes a ghost.
Physically, they couldn't be together is what it is. It's very sad.
You believe he tried to kill you, and how have you separated from
exorcism?
That's my favorite part right there. Mm-hmm. Because he can't even wait for the answer.
Yeah, he's trying to get out of this
segment. She didn't even finish the question.
He's scrolling LinkedIn on his phone.
You believe he tried to kill you, and how have you separated from
exorcism?
Yes, I ended up having an exorcism in December of last year.
So she had an exorcism, and it just didn't work out, you guys. They were together for 3 years.
That's successful.
That's not a bad run.
She's successful, but she did say it started a couple of months after they got married. So
right.
It seems like maybe it wasn't a
in
great
LA,
3
though,
years.
3 years is like...
It's a lifetime.
Yeah, it's like a whole marriage.
She wasn't even off the couch when he was on the phone to his agent.
No, just finally, Amanda, and we're glad it's turned out well for you and whatever, and this is all very real to you.
Okay, this is where, and I'm telling you, these guys usually don't do this, but this is very real to you.
Right.
And now I'm going to hit you with a baseball bat question.
When you look at your wedding pictures and whatever, do you feel a bit silly about this night?
Oh.
Look at the picture of your wedding.
Yeah.
There's no one in it but
How
you.
How do you feel now? What's happening?
I have long existing health problems that are never going to go away. Although since the exorcism, my health has dramatically improved.
And they're not mental health problems.
Oh, he's just bringing a hammer down.
He's done. Needling.
He's done. He's finished. He's just like, mental? Okay. Good to see you. Bye.
No, I have no mental health problems.
Be careful what you wish for, what you dream about, because it may just come true.
I'm much happier.
Good. Good. I'm glad you're happy. Stay happy.
Stay happy and go somewhere else because I'm tired of this. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
I'm not going to lie. I think we got a pretty good 7 o'clock hour coming up. You will not want to miss Would You Like to Take That Back? We also got a new batch of animal stories, and we're going to pay tribute to our friend Barney Smith, who we just found out this morning, the toilet seat king of San Antonio, Texas, our friend that we've spoken with over the years. We just found out he passed away. So we've got a tribute to Barney coming up in addition to everything else.
Why are you laughing? Call it a tribute.
It is a tribute.
I listened to it. It's not a tribute.
We're going to remember our friend Barney because okay. He is gone.
All right, good.
First, Ali's here with what's happening on a Wednesday.
What's going on?
Bean, you were a fan of Amazon's paranoia thriller, Homecoming.
Yes, very much. That was a Julia Roberts series. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, she only signed on for 1 year, but she will be returning as the executive producer of the series for season 2. And they have maybe the best surprise twist ever for season 2.
Oh.
Singer, actress, fashionista Janelle Monáe taking over as the lead.
Hmm. Oh,
interesting.
All right.
I would like to see it.
Okay. Monáe will play a, quote, tenacious woman who finds herself floating in a canoe, no memory of how she got there or even who she is. And I ask you guys, who amongst us?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Who amongst us?
I don't get paid for them ripping that page out of my life. Come on. All those times I've woken up in a canoe with no idea where I am.
Right. Homecoming 2.0 will begin shooting later this year.
Kevin, you never saw that, right?
I didn't, and I wanted to.
You would love it.
Too much TV, but I did want to.
Yeah, it's something you'd really, really enjoy.
And it's from the guy that did Mr. Robot, which you loved.
Loved.
So I feel like it's right up your alley.
And she got the Emmy snub, right? That was like
she did. That was one
people freaked out about, yeah.
Yeah. You guys, what is happening on Broadway? So often now you're hearing about people texting during a Broadway show, people snapping pictures during a Broadway show, people actually stopping on stage and being like, what are you doing? Well, something happened a couple days ago during the performance of Frankie and Johnny in the Clair de Lune. Someone snapped a picture of Broadway star Audra McDonald when she appears nude in the play's opening sex scene.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
My disappointment is immeasurable, and my day is ruined.
Giggity giggity.
No giggity
where,
giggity.
Where were you, Bean?
No. Bean, where were you on the night of?
It wasn't me.
So she appears nude in the play's opening sex scene with Michael Shannon, and they notice a flash from the audience.
Was it Bean?
Bean, was it you?
It was absolutely not me. That's terrible that somebody would do it. There's no excuse to ever take a photo in a Broadway theater.
That's why I draw the scenes.
Right?
From my
do?
Yeah, just as fast as
I
can.
He brings in a giant easel.
Yeah, just like, oh, yeah. And I go home.
Just as fast as you can.
I don't even stay for the whole play.
Didn't need to know well.
Giggity, giggity.
All right. So that it's awful and nobody wants it and we don't like
it. And stop it.
Stop it, you guys.
Daddy Likey.
Speaking of Daddy Likey, Bean, guess who's going to be in your neck of the woods?
Who? Tell me.
Katy Perry.
What's Katy Perry up to?
She's going to be the headline act August 20th for Amazon's annual employee celebration event.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have 45,000 of their employees in the Emerald City head out to see a concert in celebration of the company's big Prime Day event earlier this month. By the way, 175 million items were sold during that two-day event.
Wow.
Yeah.
And people were like saying to boycott it, and they still did that well.
Yeah. No one, and
no one boycotts Amazon.
Boycotting Amazon.
No, you can't boycott Amazon.
Yeah. Baby, you're a
player. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. Come on, show them what you were. You go, girl.
I like to picture Bean at that show going, you go, girl.
I need it. August 20th, though, Bean, put it on your calendar.
Okay.
Just walk right on over there, CenturyLink Field.
Late night for Daddy.
Okay.
All right. Stay up late for that, I guess.
I mean, we don't need it. This is something that if I had all the money in the world, I would do. Let's say you've got a house and your neighbors are just grumbling about noise. They're like, oh, it's too loud. We don't like it. But you're Ed Sheeran, so you're like, can I buy your house? And you on the other side, can I buy your house? That's what he did. He purchased the two houses next door to his mansion in London, as well as bought the apartment over the restaurant and bar that he owns in the UK for a total cost of $5 million. I mean, according to The Sun, Ed Sheeran owns 22 properties in all, which cost him just under $60 million. But that's that's the way to go.
Yeah.
You've
I'm being too loud? I'm sorry. I'll buy your house.
Sorry. How much is it worth to you? And then you just whip out a checkbook.
There's too much shade now because of your house. I'm going to buy it and then tear it down.
It's just awesome.
I want to become Ed Sheeran in my next life.
Oh, like, be pretty sweet.
He's having a blast.
I agree.
Yeah. He basically tours by himself. Like, there's no one on his tour.
Yeah, no overhead.
Yeah, so every time he sells out, he makes like 80% or something.
Yeah, it's just him and a guitar up there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And what an amazing voice as well. It's crazy.
And seems like he is enjoying it and having fun. And he takes stays off of social media and he takes plenty of time off when he feels like it. I mean, he just seems like he's making all the right decisions.
And recently just got married to the love of his life. Everything's coming up Ed Sheeran, you guys.
Living that life.
I love it.
That's because he's a douchebag.
I think that's
I don't think that's what we're saying at all.
That's what we were saying. Opposite. That was odd. So, good for you, Ed Sheeran, buying up neighbors' houses. How awesome is that?
That's a baller move. Just that's like, pretty strong.
I'd like to buy your house. Really? Why? Because you complain. Here.
That one time you complained?
That one time.
You're out.
Beat it. Here's $5 million. All right, some birthdays for you guys. Rose Byrne, Jennifer Lopez, Linda Carter, Gus Van Sant, Michael Richards, Kristen Chenoweth, and Elizabeth Moss. And
Look, I shouldn't have to say this again. We're doing 22 and a half hours or whatever it is of live radio every week.
Right, and we don't really have writers.
There's no writers.
So we're winging it.
We're winging it. It's all off
sometimes
the top.
Sometimes it doesn't go well.
It's all off the top.
That, you said that like it's shocking to people. We don't have writers. Right.
Really?
Yeah,
it's not a finely scripted program. What I'm saying is occasionally you go for it, and it misses.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, then occasionally you need to be held responsible.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
Look, I'm probably not even in the file again this week, but I'm just saying I'm probably not in the file, but on behalf of those that are, I just say we shouldn't be shaming them for attempting to make funny. That's all I'm saying.
I see. The first one is Allie.
Oh. Okay.
We were doing a phone topic that you were you were raised by clowns. We got a lot of calls, by the way.
Yeah.
That was an actual thing. We were talking about being raised by clowns. Mm-hmm. Which is an odd enough thing. Seems like there's clowns everywhere, right? Yeah. I mean, no, but seriously, because
clowns
you go
to the left of me, jokers to the right.
Sure.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Look it up, kids. It was a bop.
The defense.
And it's a very timely reference from 1973.
I was going to say, I don't even know when that song came out, but I've heard like 18 different remixes of it. I couldn't even tell you.
Can I give you my opinion on this?
Yeah.
Halfway through, I hated you. And then it turned around big time with her.
She committed.
And it's a bop. Yeah, she started singing it. Fantastic.
Okay. So you're saying I shouldn't take it back?
I'd say it's up to you, but that's my input.
For Kevin, I'm not going to take it back.
For me.
Thank you.
Now you can blame it on me. I didn't even think about that. Bean's next.
Oh.
A surprise.
Millennials have killed the doorbell.
Killed the doorbell?
They no longer ring a doorbell because they just text from the car.
I'm here.
Yeah.
But how do you know who's in the neighborhood?
Oh, Bean. We're going to go ahead and file that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to take that back?
So much shame.
Big Boy used to say, who's in the neighborhood?
This is the thing that Bean does. He always tries to explain it to us as if we don't get it. We got it.
Clearly you don't get it or it wouldn't be in the...
It's in the file because we get it.
Exactly. I'm not going to take that back. Oh. I think they're big boy fans. You got a big chuckle out of that.
Listening
Did
to Kevin
you think
and
that?
Me, yeah. All the big boy fans we have listening to Kevin and me, who at any point could turn to big boy.
Look, there's a lot of crossover there in the Venn diagram. I stand by that. I like it. Plus, it was a radio joke, too. And, you know, I kind of have a hard on for that. All right.
Allie is next. We were talking about how long you waited in line and for what.
What'd you wait in line for, sir?
Wait in line for Limp Bizkit tickets.
All right. How long?
About 14 hours. I ended up getting two tickets. My wife got two tickets. She took her best friend. I called my cousin. And to this day, my cousin still tells me it's one of the best shows he's ever been to.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So you did it all for the tickets?
All for the ticket. That's it, baby.
Wow.
Would you like to take that back?
Last I heard, Kevin and Bean hated Limp Bizkit.
So you did it all for the ticket.
See, they have a song, Did It All for the Nookie.
Uh-huh.
And don't you
normally go for a rhyme in that situation?
You would.
Okay.
I could have said, like, you did it all for the tickies, but that wouldn't make... Nope. I will.
You will? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. This is Bean... And then Allie at the end.
Oh.
Wow. Bean carries the load, and then Allie at the very...
Oh, my God.
Now Bean's I'm a big boy fan.
Bean's making most of the jokes, is what I mean to say.
He recently pled not...
Sorry, we're talking about R. Kelly and his being a flight risk.
He recently pled not guilty in Illinois to 13 counts related to the making and procuring of child pornography, and he's facing a 5-count federal case in New York, which involves allegations that he brought the underage girls across state lines.
Is he absolutely positive he can fly, Allie?
I mean, file...
For God's sake.
I'm just asking a question.
Most of prejudices.
The glee with what you said that was just painful.
And he took a pause.
Answer the question, Allie.
Now I'm really out.
He believes he can fly.
Yay!
Would you like to take that back?
Peer pressure right there.
Wow.
Allie was following that with extreme prejudice.
Yeah. And I feel like if I didn't say that, we'd still be in that segment.
So that's still all Bean?
It's all Bean. All right. I have nothing to take back.
I enjoyed it, but I see how others wouldn't.
Yes.
I will, in fact, take it back.
All right.
I'll take that one back.
Next up is Bean.
Oh,
what a
come
surprise.
On.
Thank you to TCL for sponsoring this broadcast. We have a TV and a sound bar to give away today, which, by the way, is too much. We've been saying all week.
That's why you don't go chasing waterfalls.
It's that's TLC.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that one's coming back.
Take the hell out of that one, guys.
That one's coming back.
Okay, good. We did a great news story where four guys that were going to a baseball game or three guys that were going to a baseball game saw a homeless guy. They gave him a ticket to a Red Sox game. Mm-hmm. And then inside, everybody was texting except for that homeless guy who was really, really tuned into the baseball game. Mm-hmm.
Just grateful to be there. But the point wasn't that he wasn't texting. The point was that he, unlike the other people in the stadium, was really into the game.
Right.
Like, people who could have been into the game weren't because they were on their phone. Anyway, I think this Pedro is a great guy, and I would vote for him.
I swear to God, Bean.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Did Jensen laugh? Did he laugh when he heard that?
That was Dave laughing, first of all.
No, I felt pity. It was more of a pity laugh.
Would you like to take that back?
Guys, vote for Pedro is the hottest catchphrase in America
right now. Really tapped into what's happening.
It's what all the kids are saying. All right, I'm going to admit that one maybe was past its expiration date, and I will take it back.
Next up is the King of Mexico.
Dave, a rare appearance in the file.
What did I do?
We were talking, we were at Comic-Con. We were doing miniature golf course to celebrate the South Park movie. Did you know that it's the 20th anniversary of Bigger, Harder, Uncut? I forget what the name of it is.
Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Thank you. Bigger,
the movie,
Longer, Uncut.
Yeah.
The 20th anniversary.
We're old.
Yes.
How is it the 20th?
We're in Canada.
File.
Would you like to take that back?
I mean, has there ever been a shoehorn bigger than that?
Ooh.
Blame Canada. It doesn't even make sense.
Well, it was a song from the movie.
It was a song in the movie. I understand.
Except
but we were talking
not
about how
from Canada. Canada didn't make it more popular. These are reasons you would blame Canada in this joke. They don't exist.
Yeah.
So,
that's
your point to figure out if you're going to take it back.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, yes, I'll take it back.
Also, I'd like you to apologize.
Apologize?
Yeah, we're going to go a step further.
Wow.
Apologize.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
There you,
okay, there you go.
Now nice. Apologize to Canada.
Well, we got you going. And next up is Michael Schneider.
What?
Whoa.
Hey, Michael. Senior editor of Variety?
Wow.
Hey, Michael.
Aw, damn it.
It's very rare that we have guests on the show who are in the file.
We were talking to Tom DeLonge about aliens, and then we went to Michael Schneider to talk about the Emmys. You guys ready for some radio whiplash? You ready to go for Tom DeLonge and aliens into our friend Michael Schneider from Variety talking about yesterday's Emmy nominations?
Hey, guys. So did he tell you all the small things about aliens?
Oh, you go straight to hell.
Right in the file, Michael.
We're going to file it, and we're going to call you the next time we do. Would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back?
Michael was locked and loaded with that one, man.
Shopping at the bit. Wrote it down. Read it off a piece of paper.
Michael?
Seriously, didn't you, Joe, see what I did there?
Oh, my God.
He's doubling down.
I said you're not down with it. Well, I'm feeling this, guys.
Oh, no.
My God.
Can we technically put this phone call in the next Would You Like to Take That Back batch?
I don't think he's done, though.
Would you like to take it back?
You're not taking it back.
Well, we'll talk to you next time at the same exact feature.
You guys, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in the animal kingdom. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Every once in a while, an animal story comes along and the listeners insist that we cover it. And I get it sent from many, many people. And the meth gator is the story this year. I'm sure you guys all saw this. This was a viral Facebook post from the Loretto, Tennessee Police Department. They were writing about a man they had arrested named Andy Perry, who police say they caught attempting to flush methamphetamines along with several other items of paraphernalia down his toilet as the police entered his apartment. So they were putting up a Facebook post to warn people about the dangers of animals because the drugs get into the water. Somehow it could get into the animals as well. Ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what one hyped up on meth would do. Furthermore, if it made it far enough, we could create meth gators in Shoal Creek and the Tennessee River down in North Alabama. So people were terrified about the thought of a gator on methamphetamines. Understandable, by the way.
Agreed.
Especially when it's coming from a legitimate source like a police department. Well, they ended up having to apologize for it, and they said they had no idea that it was going to go viral. They did not expect this much traction. They were just trying to stress that you shouldn't flush your drugs down the toilet because it's dangerous, right? But they said there is no danger of a meth gator, and it's not something that we have to worry about. So please officially cross that off your list of things to be deathly afraid about. But there are people who are very disappointed that turns out to not be true.
I would want a meth gator as a pet.
The partner of a man who died after he ate a gecko has remembered him as a happy-go-lucky person who is always up for a laugh.
What?
Alira Bricknell told the News 7 in Australia that David Dowell was the best dad. And they had been together since they were 18 and 19 years old. He was 34 years old now. And he was recently at a party where he was dared to swallow a gecko. Should never do that.
I'm at a party with that guy.
That's a terrible
thing.
That's
what I meant. It's a terrible thing.
Well, he contracted a salmonella infection as a result. Again, he swallowed the lizard on a dare. His partner left behind says, I don't want him remembered like this. I want to remember the happy times. I'm really concerned about our three children. I want to protect them. I don't want people harassing us because of this. Because that is the type of thing that makes the rounds. And you can see the kids going to school and going, oh, your daddy died from swallowing a lizard. Nobody wants that, right?
No. Your dad wasn't even smart enough to wash the lizard first.
Right. That's how he got the salmonella.
Yeah.
I mean, of the long list of ways that you can die.
Yeah.
You never really expect that's how you're going to go, do you?
No. I do have swallow a gecko on my list.
You do?
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Wow, it's like weird. Number four.
Because David thought he was just being the life of the party. He didn't expect it to go that way. Becca Hill's partner was in the yard in their home in the British town of Pigton, hanging the laundry to dry. Gizmo, their tiny brown and white miniature chihuahua, was with them until he wasn't. Allie, this story will resonate with you. A seagull dove out of the sky and snatched the brown and white pup on Sunday.
No.
Her partner tried to grab Gizmo as the gull flew away, she said, but she couldn't reach the dog. It carried Gizmo as far away as until we couldn't see him anymore. I have no idea if he was dropped or where he is now. Now, Jensen,
I'm sure he's fine.
Were you here when Allie told us the story of what happened with her in San Diego with a seagull attacking her in her room?
No, but like the rest of the world, I saw it on Instagram and was terrified for her. I was like, this is really quite a concern.
Was there any danger in your mind, Allie, that the seagull was going to pick you up and carry you out to sea?
A little bit, but I got over it.
Okay. This 4-year-old Gizmo was only 4.4 pounds, by the way.
Yeah, same.
Ms. Hill originally posted a plea for help locating Gizmo on Facebook, but ended up taking it down because people were trolling her.
What?
Posting comments that cast doubt on her claim. Although possible, the suspected attack would certainly be a rare occurrence because seagulls do not have talons, so it would be challenging to pull off such a feat, said Kevin McGowan of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. He said the incident would be very unlikely, although he was not there to witness the event.
They're actualing a poor woman who lost her dog.
Yes. Seagulls are big, you guys.
Yeah.
And the dog was only 4 pounds. I'm sorry. This happened.
Yeah. Team Seagull is what we're saying. Yeah.
This is something you don't see very often. This is a county fair in Bellefontaine, Ohio. And like many county fairs across the country, they have livestock showings. This is where you take your cow or your pig or your goat or your turkey or whatever. And it's a competition to see who wins a ribbon and a prize. Unfortunately, all of those animals then go to slaughter afterwards, and that is the case in this story as well. This was a prize-winning lamb who was best in show, basically. And the little 10-year-old that raised this lamb got almost $4,000 for the victory. However, because the animals all go to slaughter afterwards, they drug test the animals, and there's now a scandal in Ohio because this lamb was on the juice. This lamb was on PEDs or something. They found traces of something called furosemide. It's a diuretic known by the brand name Lasix that had been found in the lamb. It could partially dehydrate the animal to make the muscles feel more solid. So this is apparently...
That lamb is never going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
No.
The lamb was just trying to make weight.
That's all he was trying to do.
Yeah. Six.
So this is, I guess what they do is they, you know, when the judges inspect the animals, they look at the width of their loins and the thickness of their muscle structure, and they're thinking about, is this a perfectly formed animal, you know, that we'll get the best meat out of? And this lamb was cheating, you guys.
That's awful.
Corrupting the one final sport of, like, right? Sensitivity. Like, this is the one I believed in. Like,
I knew that, yes. I
past
knew
tense.
I knew that these livestock competitions were, in fact, competitive, but I had no idea that it got to the point where people were using drugs to try to win these.
I'm never going to look at that sport again the same.
And finally, I want to end on a sweet story because we've had some loss and some death and some sadness. I think this is the sweetest story in the world. He's a fashion designer named Henry Kim. He is 32 years old, and he is a goldfish enthusiast. He has about 20 goldfish. But unfortunately, like many people who've owned goldfish, he has occasionally come in and found them floating upside down or sinking to the bottom of the bowl or being turned on to one side.
All people that have goldfish?
It is very common.
Yeah.
It's very common, Kevin. And there are lots of reasons for this. There's no one specific thing that causes slim bladder disease, but it has something to do with either overeating or the water not being the right to, you know, maybe the water isn't clean enough or doesn't have the right oxygen balance. Maybe they have to spend too much time at the top getting the kind of food that floats. Well, he had seen this happen, so he had a goldfish that started to get this slim bladder disease, and he built the goldfish a wheelchair. So essentially,
what?
It's a float so that the goldfish doesn't sink to the bottom or turn over. It keeps him just like if you got into like a raft or something like that on the water to stay afloat.
Like floaties.
Yes. He got some airline tubing that people use in their tank. He placed it around the goldfish. He added some valves to the bottom of it, which acted as a chair to prop him up. Then he tied on some styrofoam as a buoyancy aid and meticulously removed pieces until the weight was just right for the fish to move around freely. So he basically created this, what he calls a wheelchair for goldfish, which people just think is the sweetest thing in the world because rather than just say, well, the goldfish is only going to last 6 weeks anyway, why should I bother? He says his goldfish are now living to be 5 and 6 months old.
This poor goldfish is looking at people going, please kill me.
Come on.
Just take me out.
You got to look in that guy's
freezer. All my friends are gone.
You're figuring out a way to make this a bad thing. I think it's awesome that this guy is taking the time to keep his little goldfish alive.
Deplete the water.
Is this week's Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
Chip, I'm a little disappointed you haven't been bringing hay back in your final few days here on the show.
I'm good with it.
I mean, it's kind of what you're famous for. I think your fans demand it.
You don't get to tell me when the hay is coming.
Okay.
Good point. All right.
Hey, some sad news, you guys, if you weren't listening earlier this morning. Right ahead of the start of the show, I got a word from one of our listeners that our friend Barney Smith had passed away. You may remember him as the man who became famous for his toilet seat collection. He managed to make beautiful artwork out of toilet seats, and he'd been doing it for decades, and he had over 1,300 of them before he sold the collection to move to Texas last year. I got a chance to visit with Barney Smith. At the time, I think he was 96, I want to say. So it was a couple of years ago. I went about 100 miles out of my way on a trip to Louisiana to spend some time with Barney, and I do not regret it. He was just a blast. He was so much fun. He has passed away, but here's a little bit of the last time I saw him in person, and then we'll give you an update on his participation on the show after that.
What do you expect to find in heaven?
I expect to find my mother and dad, my brother and my sister, and my kin folks that have gone on before me, and my wife. I told her, I said, well, whenever you leave here, tell St. Peter that there's an old boy down here working on toilet seats that wants a place in heaven. And so she's got a good word for me.
He's a very sweet man.
Oh, my gosh.
How unbelievably sweet was he?
I can't believe he lived another day.
Right.
He sounds so old in that interview.
Correct.
Well, so I interviewed him, and we put it out on a podcast and played some highlights in the air. And then we thought, let's keep in touch with Barney. So we did. We called him a few times after that just to touch base, especially since when he made the announcement that he was selling the toilet seat museum. We wanted to check in and make sure he was okay with that.
Honestly, we thought, like, well, he's going to go after he gets rid of that, because that's what he really put his heart and soul into for his last
album. It was his passion.
It was his passion.
It was definitely his passion. So we heard the sad news this morning. We thought, you know what? Let's dig up the tape of the last time.
Maybe don't say dig up. A little early.
Insensitive. Okay.
Let's put our hands on the tape of the last time we spoke with Mr. Smith, which I think was about a year ago. We had Barney on, and it's maybe a nice way to remember it.
I mean, should we set it up at all? At the end of it, we were trying desperately to end the phone call on a positive note.
Yeah, not for any other reason than you're on the radio.
Right,
yeah.
We're on the radio. Yeah.
Because Barney was quite a talker, and I think we'd already had him on for like 11 minutes at this point. And
we were
trying to get him off the phone. Now, we didn't know, of course, this was going to be the last time that we ever talked to him. But
we could have guessed afterwards.
It's your time. You do whatever the heck you want.
Continue to work until the Lord calls me, and it won't be long. I realize that.
Oh, Barney.
Well, we planned, we're putting on our calendar to call you next year to wish you a happy 98th as well.
And call it in. You don't have to wait for my birthday.
All right.
Give me a ring and see how things are going.
We will do that.
We'd love to.
Yes.
I hope that I'm not bedridden. I hope that I'm still up on my feet. But
you'll be
good. My arms are gone. My legs are gone.
No, you're fine.
You're good.
No, you're good. You're hanging in there, Barney. All right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Barney.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Did you
just hang up on Barney?
Did you just hang up on Barney? He did. Oh, God. I don't like anything in the last minute.
He's 97, Kevin.
I didn't really hang up on him.
You clipped him.
He hung up.
No, you clipped him.
No, he hung up.
That might be the last time we ever... His arms aren't working, his legs, didn't you hear him?
That was a rough last minute. That was a super rough close call.
But when you listen to that, you go, that guy's ready to go.
He's
ready to go.
Yeah, I heard like dust coming out of his mouth as he was talking.
But I'm so confused because he was alive. Uh-huh. And now he's dead.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that happened. It seemed like yesterday he was fine.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Barney.
We're going to 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
We're going to be looking for your phone calls next half hour, by the way. If you got away with something under your parents' nose, preferably you're living in their house and they have no idea. All right? That's going to be the topic. Start thinking about that if that was you. I mean, there've got to be people who've been running businesses out of their home and their parents don't know it, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Or murder.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that we all want to get to murder.
If you've gotten away with murder, and your parents don't know, call now.
Jensen, this is not the show for confess your crime. Okay,
there is a history here.
Been there. Don't need you to do that again.
Yeah, I've done the public service. All right, 7:55. Allie is here. Time for what's happening on a Wednesday.
What's going on?
Oh well, none of you three are particularly known for your low voice here on the radio.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. You're no Theo from the Beat, right? But who would you say has the lowest voice? Probably Bean.
Between
us? I don't know. I think we all are tied for Sopranos.
I don't know. Me coming Kevin? In, I think I've upped the helium.
You have. I mean, you make us sound lower. Yeah. But I would guess Bean.
Okay. Bean, if you wouldn't mind, I want to hear how low you can sing. Like the lowest note that you can sing.
Oh, I can't. I mean, my voice does not go any lower than this. This
just
is it.
Sing the lowest note you can sing. Like,
sing the word
low, even.
Old Man River, it keeps on. Where are we going with this? What are you doing?
Finish. What?
Damn it.
That's all I got.
All right, Kevin, you try it.
Oh, that's same thing.
Oh, keep going.
No, I'm not going to keep going.
Go ahead. We got time.
Old Man River.
That's it.
All right, Jensen.
That's all I got.
Old Man River.
All right.
Why are you asking us
this? The reason I'm asking
There's
you
this. There's no reason.
She just felt like it.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be
just
funny.
Like, no reason.
All right, let's
anyway.
What's happening?
So Ed Sheeran.
In Netflix news.
The reason I bring this up is because a Welsh woman broke the Guinness World Record for the lowest vocal note sung by a female singer. I'm just going to have her explain it.
Hello, my name is Helen Leahy. I'm a musician, I'm 31 years old, and today I'm going to attempt to break a world record for the lowest vocal note by a female.
That last note was lower than any of you got.
Oh, sure, by far.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah, Guinness World Record, you guys.
Just a very impressive.
Little lady from Wales. Just killing it. I love, though, if you watch the video, she attempts it. And then at the end of the first attempt, she's like, no, that wasn't it. And they've got all these computers that are, like, getting the range and everything. And the guy looks up from the computer. He's like, nope. And she goes back and does it again. It was like the most ridiculous video you've ever seen. Like they were doing a surgery on the most important human on the face of the earth. It was
do it again and do it right.
Pretty cool, though. And the fact that we got both of you to sing Old Man River.
Yeah.
I think the bonus?
Definite bonus, you guys.
I have the prior record holder.
Yeah?
Yeah. Want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't.
I mean, it's good.
When did she go low?
That was it.
Oh, that was
yeah,
it.
That's,
okay.
Yeah, she destroyed the old record.
Wow. Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Not even close.
Yeah.
You're ridiculous. You guys, Lifetime is set to begin production on a movie based on the college admissions scandal. Of course, that we saw dozens of very wealthy families indicted on fraud charges earlier this year. It's tentatively titled College Admission Scandal.
Wow, that's a great...
The two-hour film is going to center on two wealthy mothers who encounter the college admissions consultant, William Ricksinger, and willingly partake in getting their kids into top-tier colleges.
Go ahead and answer the question we're all thinking.
Will she play herself?
I mean, there are two perfect actresses for this movie.
I mean, one might be in jail by the time this is in production. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, it's weird that they're choosing two wealthy mothers, though.
That's an odd thing, huh?
Definitely, definitely. You guys, yesterday in Rhode Island, police arrested a man named David Page. Reports that he was acting suspicious in the neighborhood where Taylor Swift has a home. Page had a backpack with a metal bat sticking out of it, and when he was confronted by police, he tried taking off. So they're like, oh, something's up with this dude. When they caught up to him and his backpack was searched, police found the bat, as well as 30 lockpicks, a crowbar, gloves, a flashlight, screwdrivers, and a rake. How big is this backpack? Good Lord. So he said he had just arrived in Rhode Island from New York. He was previously in Memphis and Nashville. He just wanted to catch up with Taylor Swift so she could help him with his music career.
I see. With all of that in his backpack?
All of that, yeah.
Well, you always take a rake to a meeting on a music career.
It's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Bean's making fun of this guy like it's not him.
Right. A bat, 30 lockpicks, a crowbar, gloves, a flashlight, screwdrivers, and a rake.
I don't like the sound of any of that.
I don't like the sound of any of it. However, I would like to know make and model of the backpack. It seems like it's got a
lot of
room.
Solid backpack, yeah.
Pretty solid. Not a good situation.
I'm just going to lie here moaning, thinking about Taylor Swift. Tay-Tay.
I love when Bean plays clips of himself. It's lovely. Surprise face. For you, Elizabeth Moss, Rose Byrne, Kristen Chenoweth, Michael Richards, Gus Van Sant, Linda Carter, and J-Lo.
Edgar Ramirez from Sun Valley, by the way, won the passes for the Adult Film Adult Swim Film Festival.
Somebody's thinking of a different festival.
Very different.
Please look at what Ruben wrote up on the screen. It says Adult Film Festival.
Sure does.
Sure Ruben.
Does. And I just Ron Burgundy.
And you're Ron Burgundy, right?
And I just read it. It's Adult Swim Film Festival. Completely different. Okay. I bring that up to say we're going to have to clear the lines because we're going to need them again here in a minute for the phone topic. But first, before we get into this, Jensen, you are, don't strike me as a guy who watches a lot of baseball, but you had the game on last night, the Freeway Series last night?
I do watch a lot of baseball, especially this Dodger season, which has the hopes of being one of the most winningest in franchise history.
Yeah. So,
and it's the Freeway Series.
Which is very exciting, playing against the Angels, who have also gotten suddenly pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it had I mean, Kevin, you always say, if more baseball games were like this, I'd love the sport.
Yeah.
It had everything last night, didn't it?
It was great. You had a Trout homer. Obviously, you're always looking for those, as he's pretty much one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
Pretty much get that every game.
And so, yeah, we just came off a series with the Marlins. We took that, and now it's a big run here in L.A. And it was in the last inning. It was a great game throughout the whole thing. And score was 5-4, and we had a man on second. Hit to the outfield. Goes to what's his name? Calhoun.
Cole
he's
Calhoun.
He's a cute name. He sounds like a Western cowboy. Cole Calhoun, and he has a throw to home, and it is a perfect strike. It's like 95 miles per hour, and he ends the game with two outs, nailing the dude at home. Just straight up.
That does not
singer.
Happen. Almost every time a guy rounds third, it seems like that throws off enough that that guy
and
can score.
If it's Cody Bellinger, who's so quick, you're
which
like,
was,
maybe
yeah.
it's a chance. Yeah, no chance.
And that's the second throw out at home of the game. Trout had had one earlier in the game. But this throw was, if you, there's a way to look it up, it's such a good highlight. And also, it's like almost as exciting as a home run ending a game. Like getting a
absolutely.
Dude
how often does this
out,
happen?
Throw out at home?
Thrown out at not home very. To end the game.
Yeah, not common.
Very rarely. I mean,
yeah, it's rare. But, to end a game,
yes,
it never happens.
Never, right?
But as far as even it happening in general, it's pretty rare. And this was not even close. Yeah. Great.
That is shot to right field, a base hit. Cole comes charging in. Bellinger's being waved around. The throw from Calhoun, a good one. Get him! Light that baby up as the Angels pick up the victory by the final of 5-4.
I'm guessing that's not the Dodger announcers?
No.
No.
Those are the homers of the Angels.
So had the throw not been perfect, tie game, now we're going into extra innings, or the Dodgers winning in the bottom of the ninth.
Absolutely, yeah.
So very exciting. Congratulations to the Angels. They need a little sunshine down there in Anaheim right now after the, you know, after the bad news from a couple of weeks. All right, here's the topic I've been dying to talk about. Well, first, let's spend a minute just talking about Euphoria, because not everybody is watching this show. It's on HBO, and it has a little bit of buzz, not as much as I think it deserves. Allie is my Euphoria buddy. How do you describe this show to people, Ellie?
Ellie's my euphoria buddy.
Meaning that she's my friend who watches it and we talk about it.
I would describe it as every parent's worst nightmare.
Yes.
Because
it's
it
a
is,
great way to put it.
It's just, it's teenagers doing things that, newsflash, teenagers are all doing.
But and not my kids.
Not your kids,
right,
though.
Right, right.
But it's graphic sex. It's graphic drug use. It's domestic violence. It's all of the things that you truly don't believe is happening in your home, let alone your neighborhood. And it just shows how these bad things permeate this town. And it's just, it's a lot.
And this this past Sunday's episode also had a kid getting beat up by a bunch of other dudes, too. That was an extreme bullying event as well. So, I mean, it has everything you hope your kid will avoid. One of the plot lines in this show, Euphoria, on HBO, is a wonderful actress named Barbie Ferreira. She plays a character named Kat on the show. And by the way, she's beautiful. This is a beautiful girl. She, though, is sexually confused, would you say, Allie? Sexually frustrated?
No.
Because she's a little
very
bit
different.
She's a little bit chubby, though, and she doesn't have the fun sex life that she sees he's her classmates having.
She's a little chubby. Her boyfriend broke up with her after she had gone away and gained some weight on vacation. Love of her life dumped her because she had gained weight. Mm. So all she wants to do is lose her virginity. She picks a really bad time at a party because people were filming it. What happened then is they filmed it and put it on the internet. And that's not something
that's not you, what you want. No.
Then the principal got involved. She was like, not me, blah, blah, blah. They wound up taking it off of the internet. But she also found comments on the video that were like, oh, my God, I'd love to see more of this girl. This girl's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And it changed her whole outlook on sexuality and that she can be attractive to a certain demographic of men.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up, Bean, with her webcam.
By the way, she is attractive to this demographic of men. I'll tell you that.
Oh, so, all right.
Take it easy.
All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom.
So she decides because she's getting all this positive feedback from the U-Port comments that she is going to start her own webcam business in her bedroom of her parents' house.
Yeah.
Talk about parents' worst nightmare, by the way.
Yeah.
Imagine this going on with your teenage daughter under your roof and you don't even know about it.
And open the door!
I can't. I'm waiting for tokens.
And by the way, she is getting paid.
Yeah.
She has her Amazon wish list that's getting taken care of, and she just becomes this sensation running this business out of her parents' house. And I started thinking about, I bet there's a lot of stuff that goes on in your parents' house that your parents have no idea about it. Because in a lot of parents' minds, she's a 16-year-old girl. She's just a teenager doing homework or talking on the phone or watching TV. You know what
so
I mean?
If you're a webcam girl, call now.
1-800- No, that's not what we're saying.
What?
It can be. I guess it could be. But what we're saying is stuff that you got away with living with your parents that they had no idea about. And I just envision not only people running businesses, but I just people, you know, people going to Mexico for 3 days and your parents don't even know it.
You know, I'm just going to be at Billy's house.
Yeah.
Studying.
Whatever it is, what fast one were you able to pull off over your parents? I guess it's not off over. It's either over or off. It's
either,
one or the other.
Either way, yeah.
So that's what we're looking for. What else? What else would be good examples of what people might be able to do? People might get away with.
I mean, a lot of times you see the stories of the people who had the girlfriend or the boyfriend climb up the stairs and get in the window.
Yeah.
A lot of times that happens.
A lot of like parties when your parents are out of town. We had a big rager. Mm-hmm. They never found out.
That's
I had
right.
a friend that wasn't allowed to get a car, who bought a car and parked it about two blocks from her house.
Is that right?
And would drive us everywhere, and her parents had no idea she had a car.
That is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, just bought an old beater and was like, this is it. This is my freedom.
That is exactly what we're looking for. His or her parents did not know they had a car.
No idea.
I love that. All right, so that's the topic. Let's see what we get on this. 1-800-520-1067. And Kevin's not wrong if you're a webcam girl. That's okay, too.
Please.
We'll take
an email.
Next on K-Rock.
All right. Just had to foster the people. Let's take one phone call. You were doing something that your parents probably worst nightmare, but they didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Joyce is calling from Mission Viejo. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning. I was 17 years old and went to Vegas with my boyfriend during spring break, which was already bad enough, but we were staying at the Sahara, and I went won $900 on a slot machine, but that's back in the day when it was only the coins, and they didn't have enough in the machine, so an attendant had to come, and they asked for my ID, which, of course, I wasn't old enough. There and they kicked me out of my room, even. I couldn't even stay there anymore.
You got kicked out of the Sahara.
Yeah.
That really takes something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you
and your parents, your parents didn't know any of this?
They still don't know.
Oh my God.
Can we call them?
I can't believe you won $900 and you walked out of there with nothing.
And got kicked out.
And that's still the most I've ever won in Vegas. And I've been to Vegas a lot.
Joyce, technically you didn't win it. I'm just throwing it back out there.
That's amazing.
You watched it happen.
$900 when you're 17 is like 10 grand.
Agreed.
Yep, that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the call. We appreciate you listening to us, Joyce. From the 310, Amanda says, I would steal the car when my mom and Dad went to bed upstairs at night. I was 15 at the time. That's what we're talking about. Your call is coming up next after Foster the People here on the world famous K-Rock.
We usually try to guess on the phone topics how many people are going to call with stories. And on this one, we thought a lot. And it turns out a lot.
We could do this all day.
Yes.
Well, people like to get away with stuff, you know? I mean,
that's a good point.
Part of being a teenager, I think, is what can I get away with that my parents don't know about? And that's what we're talking about here at 1-800-520-106. And we have some wonderful calls on hold. Please, Sarah, don't go away. We want to talk to you, Melissa, as well. Freddie, don't hang up. Let's start with Yessie, though. She's in Monrovia. She's up first, line one, please.
I don't know how we're ever going to get past Yessie.
No, you don't top Yessie.
Hey, Yessie.
Hi.
Oh, no.
Hey, we didn't knock you up. Don't blame us.
Yeah, we didn't even call in. You called in.
All right. What happened, my dear?
I had a baby, and my dad didn't know until I was in the hospital in labor.
Okay, hold up. Now, so you were pregnant for 9 months, and you knew it. This is one of those stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
But your dad, you were living with your dad at the time, and he had no idea that his daughter was pregnant.
Right.
And how old were you at the time?
16.
16?
Wow.
How do you, what extreme lengths did you have to go to hide it from him? You were showing, obviously, right?
Yeah. I mean, I dressed a little bit baggier than normal, but it was pretty obvious.
But in your mind, you have to be thinking, he's going to find out.
He's going to notice.
Yeah.
I was just kind of hoping he wouldn't notice.
And my
mom, like,
But what was your plan? Because you knew at some point that baby was coming out, and you knew that was going to be a terrible way for your dad to find out.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Yeah. I love Yessie.
My aunt called him when I was in labor at the hospital.
Your aunt called him when you were in labor at the hospital. That's a great phone call to dad.
And he was delighted, right?
No.
Okay, no. All right. Okay. Thank you, Yessie. We appreciate the call. I sort of see how it happened now that we talked to her. Let's try Sarah. She's in Los Angeles. She's on line four up next on K-Rock.
Good morning, Sarah.
Hey.
Hey there.
What'd you get away with? Hey. You had a baby and your parents didn't know you were pregnant?
No, not that.
Okay.
I'm actually pretty proud of this one. When I was 16, my friend and her, like, badass aunt took us both to get, like, tattoos.
Ooh.
And, little secret tattoos and on our hips, under our, swimsuits. So, even when we had those swimsuits on, you couldn't see. And,
right.
Very secret. My parents didn't know. They were simple little hearts. We got matching tattoos. And I was 16. And I think they didn't find out until I was 18 that I had it. And the way that, they didn't find out until I was actually 30 that I had it. But my mom first saw my tattoo when I was 18. I was coming out of the shower, as moms do sometimes. They accidentally see you coming out of the shower, and she...
She's a narc!
She's like, what is that on your hip? And I was like, oh, wait a second, Mom. I ran to my room. I grabbed some markers really fast and colored the tattoo in with the markers, and then came back out, and I said, What, Mom? And she says, what is that on your hip? Is that a tattoo? Show me. And I showed her. I licked my finger. I smeared it. I said, no, Mom, it's fake. It's not real.
Wow, look at you.
I totally believed it.
Sarah's a mastermind.
Mm. Yep.
And then you 100%. Got away, and you got away with it until you were 30, until she found out for real.
Yeah, I told her. I actually told her the whole story and how proud I was that I got away with it.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate the call. Well done. By the way, who's this tattoo? It wasn't a tattoo artist, I guess, that gave it to an underage person. It was just like a kind of a homegrown tattoo.
No,
like
no. A, they went to a shop. Yeah. I love that. Bean's like, all tattoo artists are probably on the up and up, right? You know, my guy was good, so everyone's got to be good.
Let's do some Freddie here on Line 8. He's in Anaheim. This is what I'm talking about.
Morning, Freddie.
What's up, party people?
What'd you get away with in your parents' house? They didn't know it.
So basically, one of my buddies asked me to bring over a house, right?
Bring over what?
And he's our VCR back in the day.
Okay.
VCR.
Okay.
And he started making a copy of a porn. And he rented it out, and then he was like, "Yeah, I liked it so much, I'm going to keep it." And I was like, "Wait a minute, Joey,
your phone's cutting out." So your idea was, "Hey, if you're making a copy for yourself, let's make additional copies that we can sell
at school." That's right.
It's cool. How old?
And we were like 16.
Okay,
so we're talking about 1997, 96, around there.
Okay,
and we opened up our little business, man, and then business really blew up the year after when one of our classmates graduated and she made a porn video, and so we were really selling that all over. So yeah, like the kings of porn, man.
Yeah. Did your parents ever find out?
You know what? I've never told them that.
Can we call them?
I don't think it was. Oh, my God.
Come on, Freddie and Joey, the kings of porn.
Everybody knows that.
Hey!
Whoa.
Well, okay. There it is. I'm not going to miss her now.
Wasn't her best. Let's be honest. It wasn't her best.
Nope. 21 Pilots tickets for you coming up right after Allie's What's Happening Here on this Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on?
So Saturday at Comic-Con, they did the Marvel panel in Hall H, where Marvel basically announced, hey, we've got all these rad movies coming out for like the next 30 years. Sit tight.
Right.
Might not have been that long, but lots of great things coming out of that, including we found out that they're going to do a Blade reboot with Mahershala Ali. Which is pretty damn awesome, right?
I would like to see it.
Well, he's a tremendous Oscar-winning actor. Phenomenal. And anyone who gets him in a movie is lucky to have.
Absolutely. Someone that was a little bit taken aback by it was a man named Wesley Snipes, who, of course, portrayed Blade in the 1998 film, followed by Blade 2 in 2002, Blade Trinity in 2004. He was getting a lot of comments on social media, like, oh, man, this isn't fair, that's not cool, blah, blah, blah. So he tweeted to all the Daywalkers losing their minds right now, chillax. Which, can someone talk to Wesley Snipes about chillax, first of all? But he said, although the news comes as a surprise, it's all good. Congratulations and salam to Mahershala Ali, a beautiful and talented artist whose expressions I look forward to experiencing for many years to come. And then thanked all the fans. Their, you know, outpouring of love was overwhelming. But it struck me that he said, although the news comes as a surprise, I'm not saying Marvel should have reached out to him and been like, hey, want to, you know, do a cameo, which he should do a cameo in this movie. But I feel like he would have gotten word of this happening
somebody.
From someone somewhere.
No, I don't think an actor from a film 25 years ago is owed an update on a reboot. I really don't.
You would think that you know people that know people in that world, and it would just...
Yeah, maybe.
And he was in three of them. It's not like this was a one-off film that nobody really talked about. It's kind of iconic.
Right, but do they call Michael Keaton when they make the announcement that Robert Pattinson is going to be Batman? Do they give him a heads up?
No, because there were 70 other Batmen.
All right.
There was only one Blade. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Give a brother a call.
He was in the last Expendables, right?
He was in one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only thing he's done that I know of since he's been out of prison. Like, well, the dude has not been working much.
There's a great movie coming out with him and Eddie Murphy and a bunch of other people on Netflix.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When's that coming out?
They don't know yet. End of the year, they said.
End of the year.
My favorite part of that Marvel panel on Sunday that got everybody so excited was this lady when she took to the stage.
Who's your favorite Marvel Comics hero? Mine is Superman. Remember the motto? With great power comes great responsibility.
I mean, that went crazy.
in Hall H. People were just
nuts.
Very excited about that.
True
comic head.
Because Superman's one of the greatest Marvel heroes of all time.
Yeah, hey, and that right. phrase. Everyone is phrase. Always, every time you hear that, you're like, Superman.
Nailed it.
Immediately.
She nailed it.
God bless her. At the end of that clip, she says, see you at 6. Like, nailed it. See you back here. You're going to all come back for my newscast later because of that. Oh, I love her. You guys, Gwen Stefani took to Instagram yesterday to announce that she has to cancel her upcoming performance because she is currently, quote, unwell.
What?
Right? She wrote, I am so upset to share that I'm unwell and will not be able to perform my Vegas residency show tomorrow night, which is tonight. She said, I was so looking forward to seeing everyone and performing, and I wish I wasn't feeling the way I do. To everyone who is coming to Wednesday's show, I'm sorry. I'm doing everything I can to be back on stage on Friday. And we all start talking about the term unwell.
Mm-hmm. That's a strange
it's
term.
It's an odd word. Yeah.
If you're unwell, you're not ready by Friday.
Yeah.
That's not the term. Yeah.
What does unwell mean?
I mean, in
is
bad
it mentally?
Shape. I think it's, yeah, it could be mental or just bad shape.
Or bad shape physically?
Yeah.
But if she's saying doing everything night? She can to be back on stage Friday, maybe strep throat, you know? You don't.
That's bad shape?
No.
Yeah.
I think that's just sick.
I have strep. You could write that in the press release. Saying you're unwell is like, it just opens strange. Up the door to so
and
much
speculation.
And this was
on Instagram. This is like where you're kind of free with your words. Know what I'm saying?
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Like that guy
right
there.
Sure.
I don't know. Lifetime.
What we do know is we wish Gwen the best because we
of
love
course.
Her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And hope she's feeling better soon.
Yeah. We hope she's well.
Soon.
Soon.
We wish her well soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Lifetime is following up its docuseries Surviving R. Kelly with a similar show called Surviving Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein.
The weird pedophile. The project will center on convicted pedophile Epstein, who's currently locked up without bail pending trial on child sex trafficking charges. Lifetime will also be doing a follow-up on Surviving R. Kelly called
Robert.
Surviving R. Kelly, The Aftermath. By the way, that Emmy-nominated original seen by over 26.8 million people.
Huge.
Yeah, huge numbers.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. And we were saying earlier... played a pretty big part on him him sitting behind bars right now.
Yeah.
So, God bless you, Lifetime.
I'm going to say that they did great work with that documentary, much as the filmmakers behind Leaving Neverland, I think, really changed a lot of people's minds on Michael Jackson, who were kind of looking the other way and just pretending it wasn't real. Once you get the victims on camera, I think people start to realize these are real people that were affected by these guys.
100%. Coming up... We're going to talk to Jensen. You're a shoehead.
I'm a real shoehead.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you about a shoe that went for a astounding price. Mm-hmm. Like, insane. Did you hear my jaw?
you had a look on your face like you just injured yourself talking.
The word astounding.
I've never seen that before.
Did your jaw drop out of place? Like,
I did something real weird.
She injured herself talking. That's amazing. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
But... It really hurts.
Like, it hurts right now?
No, it's just a little... It feels out of whack.
What? She injured herself talking.
This is a true radio injury.
That happens?
How out of shape are you?
That's
well,
a thing.
I injured myself talking.
You better cancel your date for tonight.
I see what you did.
Yeah, we
yeah,
heard
I get it.
It.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Kyle Kuzma. Jennifer Lopez, Linda Carter, Gus Van Sant, Michael Richards, Kristen Chenoweth, Rose Byrne, and Elizabeth Moss.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Let me say this, by the way, not that anybody cares what Bean thinks, but this latest Raconteurs album that came out last month, Help
Hey,
Us
Bean,
Strangers.
What do you think about this latest Raconteurs album that came
Thank
out last month?
Thank you for asking, month? Kevin. Mm-hmm. Best thing they've ever done.
It's excellent.
All three of them are great, but this latest one I think is the best thing they've ever done. So do not sleep on new Raconteurs. It is
great
available.
Great album. Great album.
It
I
is.
Didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
I agree with that guy. Allie is here with our final look at what's happening here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on?
Well, this is for you sneakerheads out there.
Mm.
Because there was a big auction yesterday.
Jensen.
Kid Jensen, listen to this. Mm-hmm. This is a shoe by Nike. It is the 1972 Waffle Racing Flat, known as the Moon Shoe.
Okay, they just released some Waffle re-releases last couple weeks.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little background on this, because Nike's co-founder, who was also a renowned Oregon University track coach.
Big time, yeah.
He developed and designed these shoes for runners at the 1972 Olympic Trials.
Cheers. Oh my God. Cheers. Let's get some shoes. Let's get some shoes.
Okay.
Only 12 were created.
That is very, very low in
very,
the shoe world.
Very, very rare shoe.
And
even
also,
fewer exist today.
I was going to say, take into consideration, these are from the 70s.
Yep.
They have to be in perfect condition or some sort of condition or not in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What would you think they went for at auction?
Boy, I have no idea. In that market? From the 70s? I have no idea.
Market's big.
They only started with 12, and there's one left?
There's more somewhere. But
okay, but this is the one that was for auction. Yeah.
$7,500.
Okay.
$2 million.
$150,000.
Okay. Bean, you have a guess?
Boy, I'm just... I'll say $150,000 and $1, because I have no clue.
Bean, you win, because this 1972 Nike Waffle Racing Flat, known as Moon Shoe, went for $437,500.
Wow.
A man named Miles Nadal bought the pair of shoes. He's an avid collector, and he plans to display the sneakers alongside his collection of classic cars at his private museum in Toronto, Canada.
Same.
What a boring museum. Right?
These old shoes in my car. God. Come on in.
Look at this. These old ass shoes.
I love it.
Jensen, do you think, this is a tough question to answer, but is it worth it? Is that pair of shoes worth $400,000? I know it was to the person who auctioned it off because they got $400,000 for it. But is that the value of them now?
No, I know there's a definite, I guess Sotheby's is setting up a sneaker auction soon. So it's starting to have a lot of value. The Air Mags, those like Back to the Future 2 releases that Nike put out a few years ago, those are going for a couple, like, tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think they're worth that kind of money.
Like, but I wonder if he could turn around in a year and sell them for a profit.
Yeah, I mean,
for a profit, that's a good question.
Nike re-releases shoes a lot.
I mean, he paid a lot
for
it.
Well, he could sell them at some point, no matter what.
Yes, I mean, but does he get more than he paid for it?
No. I don't know. I mean, they re-release shoes all the time. So sometimes people spend a bunch on like the 90s versions and then they come out with the same shoe in 2019.
Just to fill you in on this, the previous world auction record for any pair of sneakers was $190,373.
Wow.
That was for a pair of Converse worn and signed by Michael Jordan in the 1984 Olympic basketball final.
Well, that's awesome.
I mean, that's got all of that.
That has
and
everything.
It went
that's
for
an awesome
so much
shoe,
less.
Because that's a Converse, not a Nike that Jordan wore.
Right.
Signed. I mean, that's kind of, I see where that value is.
Yes.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Having an old-ass shoe.
Right? 300 grand more for this ugly-ass waffle shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ugly.
Yeah, it's not nice looking.
No.
8 or 9 million?
Is that how much it went for?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, little less than
$52 million.
No, again, $437,500.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. A little different.
Good to know.
This is the most baller move, and I want at some point in my life to have this kind of money just to do it. You're Ed Sheeran. You've got a mansion in London. But still, people complaining. Your neighbors are like, grumbling about noise. Oh, Ed's playing his guitar too loud. So what do? You just buy the two houses next door to your mansion in London.
You know what? Respect. That's a baller move.
That really is.
Problem
That's
solved.
That's strong.
And then he decided, you know what? I also own a pub in the UK. I'm going to buy the apartment above it so we can stay there, be pretty loud.
Does he just, like, wherever he goes, he just buys whatever he's going into?
Well, according to The Sun, Ed owns 22 properties in all, which cost him just under $60 million, which, not bad. It seems like he knows what to buy.
Sure.
You are a white Rodney King, a hero.
Okay. He has two farmhouses, a bungalow, a four-car garage, a pub, another four-bedroom home, and 26-foot tall treehouse.
Oh. Yes.
Ed Sheeran's the best.
That's so sweet because he looks like a Keebler elf, too.
He does.
Yeah.
He has a treehouse.
That's so
he
cute.
He bought a treehouse.
That's pretty
guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. Pretty rad. Also, pretty rad, Homecoming. Season 2, they have decided, who should star in it? How about singer, actress, fashion queen Janelle Monáe? She's going to take over as the lead for the next season of Amazon's paranoia thriller, replacing the previous star, Julia Roberts, who is staying on to be an executive producer of the series.
Well, finally, they put in somebody who can act on that show.
Janelle Monáe will
play, quite an upgrade.
Will play a, quote, tenacious woman who finds herself floating in a canoe with no memory of how she got there or even who she is.
She's got a point. She's an icon. Mm-hmm. She's a legend. And she is the moment.
I mean, that old trope, right? You wake up in a canoe and you're like, I have no idea who I am.
We've seen it all before.
We've seen it.
This will be a fresh take.
Was it you who at one point was obsessed with the vein in Julia Roberts' head?
I mean...
Was that you?
Yeah, but like, I took a lot of crap for it.
You did, because the rest of us really never noticed it.
She has a very pronounced vein in her forehead, and once you mm-hmm. see it, you can never unsee it.
And is it all the time, or just when she makes
Allie
specific
pointed
face?
It out, not me.
I did not. Is it when she makes specific face, or is it all
like
the time?
Like when she's angry?
I don't know.
Contemplative?
I don't know.
Happy?
Because you have that it's weird thing about the beautiful Marion Cotillard, all you can obsess with is that her eyes are bonkers, you
I
say?
I mean, because they're bonkers.
But they're not.
Bonkers.
They're perfect. And Julia Roberts was another one that you figured out a way to make a beautiful woman ugly in your mind.
Bonkers.
Saying she had a huge vein in her forehead.
I just brought that up once. That's it.
Hundreds of times.
How dare you,
hundreds of
sir?
Times.
How do you pick apart these women like this?
I don't.
I mean, is there such thing as a woman who's acceptable looking to you, I guess, is the question.
I'm just a douchebag. That's
Whoa.
It.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Boogie-hoo! Because there's nothing wrong with Julia Roberts, is
no,
what
agreed.
I'm saying.
I agree.
Except for the vein, right?
No, I'm all good.
Oh, you're past the vein?
Yeah. I wish Allie had never brought it up.
I think she was still in junior high school when you
Jensen,
were complaining about the vein.
I wish Jensen hadn't said it.
I was a sperm.
That
I wasn't even born yet.
We wouldn't even be talking about it now, but he did.
Kevin, you're such a disease.
I wish Chip didn't bring it up.
Chip wasn't even a gleam in her father's eye. Mm-hmm. I mean, still
but at
not.
Least she
but...
still had a father then.
Oh, Chip. You quit? Okay, yeah. Cool. Maybe stay another week, though.
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
You guys, this is a strange story that Lance Bass told. So, most people remember when he came out. It was a memorable People magazine issue in 2006.
Please, my wife's ex-boyfriend. Please, relate.
Okay.
Explain.
Danielle Fishel's ex-boyfriend as well. But that wasn't... when he really came out, because he came out to Britney Spears 2 years prior to that. And here's why. He said it was the night that she got married the first time in Vegas to Jason, talking about the 2004 wedding to Jason Alexander in Las Vegas. No, very different. Different guy.
Okay.
Oh, I wish she married him. That would be awesome. But he said, so I went up to Vegas to kind of see the craziness that was happening. And she was a little upset when she realized what she had done because, you know, it was a funny thing. And then she started, like, really crying. Like, she was so upset. So I took her up to her room. We were sitting on her bed, and she just wouldn't stop crying. So I'm like, I'm gay. And it made her stop crying.
Wait, what?
And she laughed.
That's a strange way to...
Huh? How do I make her stop crying? I'm gay. What?
It would stop you in your tracks.
It would stop you in your tracks. Yeah. She stopped crying about the fact that she married this dude, Jason Alexander, not from Seinfeld. And so that's the first time he ever came out, was to Britney Spears.
I'm sure Danielle wishes maybe she was the first.
How long did they date?
Over a year.
Oh. Yeah.
Wasn't there a clue?
There were a lot of clues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she just didn't put them together. Like a bad detective.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't have a baby with him.
Nah.
That's a good point, B.
Nah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
All right. Veins in Julie Roberts' head.
Mm-hmm.
Lance
guy.
Bass
this
not
guy,
having
picking
babies
apart women,
with Danielle
man.
Fishel.
Bonkers.
Bonkers eyes.
Yep.
My friends totally went ghost on me.
Missed that, dude.
Some birthdays for you. Elizabeth Moss, Rose Byrne, Kristen Chenoweth, Michael Richards, Gus Van Sant, Linda Carter, Jennifer Lopez, and Kyle Kuzma. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour with tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin DeVincio. On Thursdays, we do Get Up on This with Jensen.
It's a good one.
We have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. We have
astute observation, Kevin.
We have comedian Jay Moore joins us tomorrow morning. And we've got your tickets for 21.